You know, this whole chapter is about liberty. It's about the flesh versus the spirit, which we talked about at length. Remember the first night at family camp, that we are to walk in the spirit. And if we walk in the spirit, we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And honestly, verse 26 just is kind of hiding there. And you could just very easily just go jump right over it. Because 25 is that powerful finish, right? If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And then chapter 6, we dive into if a man be overtaken in a fault and so forth, bear one another's burdens. But just before you dive into chapter 6, there's this little verse hiding there. So we're going to go over it tonight. And I think what God is teaching us is we need to walk in the Spirit. We need to not listen to the flesh. But we always need to be on the lookout for when we slip back anyway. And it's kind of like that passage in 2 Corinthians 10 that's talking about the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and all that. But then that verse 6, which most people don't go to, which says, and having it a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. In other words, once you've arrived in that particular battle, it's not over. There's another one waiting. There's going to be another temptation. And I think that's what he's saying here is we can just very easily, if we're walking in the Spirit, it doesn't mean it's done for the rest of your Christian life, does it? We could just as easily slip right back into the flesh the same day. And so he tells us after verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit, which is the primary theme of the chapter. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Pride, huh? And the works of the flesh, which remember he listed for us in verses 19, 20, and 21, they're not all works that we do with our body, are they? Some of them are with our tongue, like in verse 20, variance, which is another word for contention, wrath, and strife. Those are mostly the tongue. And then some of them are heart things, like verse 21, the very first word, envyings. That's a heart problem. And these are things, envyings is something that other people don't usually see or even know about. It's in the heart. And Paul says, be careful. Don't be desirous of vainglory. That's a pride thing, which we'll talk about at length. Provoking one another. That's issues between brothers and sisters. And envying one another. A heart issue. Be careful. Even if you're doing your best to walk in the Spirit, be prepared for the next stumble. So don't be desirous, he says, of vainglory. Let's pray. Lord, I pray now that as we look at this final verse of chapter 5, that it speak to our hearts and we would learn from it and that you would be glorified in it. And we love you and pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So let's just walk through each of these three things. And of course, the first one, vainglory, that's pride, isn't it? Proverbs 12:11 says, he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. Vanity is a very dangerous thing. It is a pride in our appearance, pride in our works. Vainglory is a very dangerous thing because God hates pride. Pride was the root sin of the devil, wasn't it? Because he said, I want to be like the Most High. And pride is saying essentially, I'm special. Well, you are special as a Christian, but you're not more special than God. You're a sinner. Look at Romans 12:3. God warns us never to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. This is what leads to so many problems in our Christian lives, especially with others, is when we start thinking that we're something, that we're super Christian, that we've arrived, or that we're special. He says in Romans 12:3, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. We're very good at this, self-deception, aren't we? but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Look down at verse 16. Be of the same mind one to another, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. We've all heard the word conceit, conceited. God says don't be conceited, essentially. There's another one in Galatians 6. Turn over there. Verse 3. And God is warning us never to desire vainglory, to desire pride for your, to desire man's admiration for yourself. It's very dangerous. Jesus rebuked the Pharisees and scribes for this all the time, didn't he? Talked about how when they fasted, they would twist their faces and make it obvious that they were fasting so that people would admire them. And, oh, look, those Pharisees are so spiritual. They're fasting. Galatians 6:3, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Outside of Christ, my friend, we are nothing. And everything that we have is because of Christ. And we must never forget that. He says in Philippians 2:3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Humility is a very important trait for Christians. We must always keep things in perspective and never be desirous of vainglory. If we are desiring the admiration of man, we need to get it dealt with because it's sin. And if we don't deal with it, God will. Look at Herod in the book of Acts. That might help remind us. That was all vainglory, wasn't it? When the people shouted, it is the voice of God, he could have said, hold on, I'm just a man. But instead he said, oh, this is nice. And he soaked it up and God killed him right there on the spot. Vainglory. Then he says in verse 26 of Galatians 5, provoking one another. We never do this, do we? We never provoke others. I'm being facetious. We do. Usually with our tongue. Romans 13:13 warns us about this. Another word is strife. He says, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. Strife. Strife is provoking one another. Paul rebuked the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 3:3. He says, ye are yet carnal, whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions. That's provoking. But God says the servant of the Lord must not strive. 2 Timothy 2:24. That's us. We should never strive. So there should never be any provoking. If somebody provokes us, what are we supposed to do? Well, we're definitely not supposed to render evil for evil, are we? We've already looked at that in Romans chapter 12. Where, as my wife always says, let it flow like water off a duck's back. That's one of her favorite sayings. And it's true. Don't let it get your back up to where you retaliate in any way, because then, now you've both sinned. And so now you both have to get it right. Anyway, we shouldn't, the desires of vainglory, we shouldn't provoke. And lastly, envy. Envy is one of those sneaky sins, isn't it? Being envious of others is sin, but we still do it, don't we? And we do it internally. We don't normally verbalize it, but that doesn't mean we don't have this problem sometimes where we envy what others have or who they are or whatever. That's wrong. That's essentially saying that God made a mistake with you. Look at Romans 9:20, where God says we should never have this attitude. We should always say, Lord, thank you for making me who I am. You knew what was best, and you made me the way that I am, and for me to envy others is wrong. It's essentially saying God made a mistake. That's why it's such a terrible thing. Romans 9:20. Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? And he goes on and talks about a potter with clay. And would the pot say, how dare you make me in that shape? To the potter. And yet, how many times does man try that with God? How dare you make me the way you made me? I'd rather be like that person. That's envy, and it's wrong. And that's why it's wrong, because it is an affront against our Creator, our potter. He says in James 3, if you want to turn there, verse 14, that it is in the heart, this envy. That's why it's so dangerous, because we can keep it a secret from others. You know, if you've got a temper problem, that's hard to keep a secret. But if you've got an envy problem, you can keep that to yourself. That doesn't mean God doesn't know. James 3:14. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Beware of envy. 1 Peter 2:1, he says, lay aside all malice and guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. So what is God teaching us by finishing the chapter this way? Yes, we should strive to walk in the Spirit. But if you've slipped up, what do you need to do? Make it right. Amen? Make it right with God. If there's been envy, make it right with God. If there's been vainglory, make it right with God. If there's been provoking, either way, make it right with the person. Amen? If someone's provoked you, if you've provoked someone, make it right. That is, yeah. The number one most common piece of advice I have to give as a pastor in 30 years is make it right. Amen? Oh, but you don't understand. It doesn't matter. Oh, they're not going to take it right. It doesn't matter. We have a command. Doesn't matter. Matthew 5:23, turn there. There are no exceptions to making it right. If there's been some provoking going on in your heart, or you've provoked someone, make it right. Matthew 5:23, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath ought against thee. So this is a case where you've provoked someone else. What are you supposed to do? Leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First, be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. By doing what? Going to your brother and saying, I was wrong. Please forgive me. Then in Mark 11, turn there. That's the other side. If you have been provoked, and when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive your trespasses. Is that Mark 11:25? Or was it Matthew 11? Yes, it is. So what he's saying is, because you don't know how many times I've had people say, well, so-and-so wronged me, and I'm waiting for them to come to me and ask for forgiveness. And I always say, if somebody wronged you, then you have to go to them. And I always go to these two passages. If you've wronged someone, you have to go to them. If someone's wronged you, you have to go to them. Jesus made it so simple, didn't he? Always make it right if there's been any provoking. So Paul is just giving us this final warning about walking in the Spirit versus walking in the flesh, that it's never over. Amen? It's never over. It'd be lovely if we could just get to that point, you know, like some people teach, where we're done, we're holy now, no more issues with sin, no more issues with the flesh. Wouldn't that be awesome? Just wouldn't be true. Because God said the battle never ends. with the old man, the flesh, until we leave this earth, either through death or the rapture. Until then, no, don't be desirous of vainglory. That's pride. That's sin. God hates pride. Don't provoke others. And if you have, deal with it. If you've been provoked, deal with it. And definitely do not envy, because why does God hate it so much? Because you're saying God made a mistake with you. In what He's provided, how He made you, your situation. To envy is to say it's not what it should be. But if you're a Christian, it's always what it should be. Amen? Because God always does what's best for us. Because He's a very good Father. And that's why He hates envy so much. So be ever so careful and on the lookout, because the devil is not going to stop. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this verse that you put in here for us, Lord, to remind us that the battle's never done. That the pride is going to keep trying to raise its ugly head. That we're still going to end up with conflicts with others, no matter how much we love them. And that we must deal with them. And that we must never be tempted by the devil to envy in any way, shape, or form anyone else. Because that is saying that you've made a mistake, which is never true. So help us, Lord, to get a hold of these truths and live them. We love you.